are listening to Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with Really Need to Get Hump Day Val and Beans. What's going on there, Beans? She's somewhere. We are communing with each other in spirit. We've got this this telepathic connection now. So wherever she is, I'm sure she is also here, and she will be communing through me. In fact, she did send me one physical message that she wanted conveyed here tonight. I'll get around that in a second. But honestly, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one thing I'm going to be speaking about with you today. Hopefully, we get through an entire hour. And if not, it is what it is. And much of what I'm going to say right now is going to translate into tonight's episode of Quite Frankly. Only there, I will take one or two live callers. So, with that being said, let's talk about the topic of the day. There was no fist fight. But it was a bloodbath. It was pretty ugly. And in my opinion, Trump's performance being was the least worst of the two men. And I say that acknowledging that the Trump's first performance against Hillary Clinton was mediocre as well. But Joe Biden should have been flattened like a slug. And though he was bruised up pretty bad at times, Biden was allowed to leave the arena conscious, which, in my opinion, is a major victory for Biden. And as sharp as Trump was at times, this was really unnecessarily sloppy. And to use a baseball phrase, the president left way too many runners on base. Way too many. And I hope that I keep a lot of you on board with me for this, because I know it's going to be a little bit critical at times. But I'm also going to point out a lot of positives, and hopefully we can have a few laughs along the way as well. But there's also an old adage about the New York Jets, the football team, that even when they're in first place, they're only ever as good as the team that they're playing. Trump, in my opinion, is a first place team who played down to the level of a basement dweller last night and actually allowed him to make it close. And no, it was not a chess move. Despite many people out there saying, oh, it's chess, you watch what happens next. No, it was actually a series of missed opportunities. There was a series of missed opportunities spackled throughout the entire experience, mixed in with a bunch of great victories, and we're going to talk about them all. Now, I'll go over a few of them in this short show, hoping that someone will take those notes and pass it along to the president, though the debate topics will invariably change as time goes on. But I was surprised at how spot on my Chris Wallace impression is. I thought I was listening to myself. Every smarmy phrase he uttered is something I predicted he would say. Tracy sent me something. She wanted me to convey this message to the audience. She said, quote, my comment for the show today is that Chris Wallace is a sniveling twit. Which I would agree with, although last night I used the term a worthless little hard-on. That's what he is. Mr. President, please, you agreed to behave. Mr. President, your campaign agreed that we would be civil. I can't plead. Shut up! Chris Wallace had a 5-minute debate with Donald Trump at one point over climate change, trying to get him to deny that humans are making the planet boil. These are the things that were getting me last night. 5 minutes he's talking to the president. The president says something, he retorts. He was having a debate while Joe Biden stood there and looked up into heaven with his eyes glazed over, doing this laughing to himself bit the entire night. While Chris Wallace debated on his behalf, Joe Biden just had to look dumbfounded as if, oh my God, am I actually really here? Am I actually really hearing this? The easiest thing in the world to do last night was be Joe Biden. Easiest thing in the world to be. Well, let's just start with the climate change bit for a little bit, because I'm going to bounce around all over the place. I've got a lot of thoughts over here. And a lot of notes. Paris Climate Accord. Let's bring that up.
Well, how are we going to get with the climate change? Do you not believe that humans are blah, blah, blah? He could have said right there, you know what? We have done better with carbon emissions than most Accord, Paris Accord members were doing without us even being in it. We're doing better. California, and he did harp on this, California is being mismanaged with the fires and all that stuff. California is being mismanaged, and it was good enough, but he could have used also the Department of the Interior statistics about arson and carelessness. In 2017, the Department of the Interior put it on out there about forest fires in the United States, that 90% of them are because of arson and because of human carelessness. The other 10% is mostly natural causes, like lightning strikes and dry brush and all that stuff, which is exactly how the earth replenishes itself anyway. The brush and trees, they die and they need to be cleared out. So what happens? A lightning strike comes somewhere and all of a sudden it gets burned out. And all that richness that's left behind with the carbon, it starts fertilizing the earth again. And then, of course, you get new brush, new trees. This is the process that the planet goes through without us even needing to intervene. Now, the problem with the planet going through what it's going through over there in California right now is that there's a lot of people that live there, which is why you do forest management. But on top of that, arson and human carelessness, like gender reveal parties with pyrotechnics, is the reason why this stuff is happening. He could have cited the Department of the Interior. But sir, you got rid of the Clean Power Plan, the Obama Clean Power Plan that was supposed to get rid of them. And I'm saying to myself, Mr. President, please bring up Gina McCarthy of the EPA. Please. You go back a couple of years into the Obama administration, ladies and gentlemen, he could have told everybody at home to Google it. Gina McCarthy of the EPA. She said to, I believe, a Senate Oversight Committee, that the Clean Power Plan was only symbolic in nature, that the hundreds of billions of dollars we would be taking out of the economy because of these environmental regulations were not going to do anything to the carbon emissions of the planet. It was like 1/100,000th of a percent or of a degree. And she even admits this is a symbolic move, hoping that the rest of the world that is burning coal like there's no end to it in India and China, which happens to be the biggest polluters of rivers and streams and oceans of the world over there. She thinks that by us slitting our throat in economically, everybody else around the world is going to say, we should do that too. That was the genius of the Obama administration. He could have sent people on a scavenger hunt of amazing clips all around the internet last night. Gina McCarthy, the EPA, Clean Power Plan. You want to know why it was taken out? Because it was worthless. And all the while, Chris Wallace is going on about this, and Joe Biden keeps looking up to the skies, smiling. The moderator was debating, and the candidate just had to act dumbfounded. It's unbelievable. And to think that the moderators are only going to get more left wing from here is scary. Now, I would be interested to see if Joe Biden calls it quits after this, because he did a lot better than most people thought he was going to do. And maybe that gives him a little bit of leverage to say, you know what, I'm not going to dignify the rest of these debates with any of my presence here. Maybe, you know, if he got completely slaughtered and he says, I'm not coming back, that sounds like, you know, sour grapes. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, the moderators are only going to get more and more friendly to him. So I don't know. Then they go on to, you know, COVID, that came on up. 10 million people losing their health care and their jobs because of Trump's recession, Biden said. The virus created such an amazing tool chest, such an amazing tool chest for the Democrats that had nothing going into this year. Think about all the things they could use here. 10 million jobs gone. It's the first presidency that is going to see a dip in jobs gained instead of, a loss instead of a gain. It's his recession. No, it's a virus from China. And it was the response to the virus from China, which is now statistically less deadly than the flu. It's the response that really destroyed everything for people. Millionaires and billionaires are doing well, very well during COVID. That's because they're the only ones allowed to stay open. They're the only ones that have the means to stay open. I don't know why everybody is up in arms that Amazon has added billions of dollars of value to the company during a 8-month period of time that people literally had no choice but to order stuff from Amazon. Couldn't leave the house, and if they could, they were probably too scared. I loved how Trump brought up other things there, too. Alcoholism, drugs, suicide. All of this happening in Democrat states being closed down. He went out and he said everything that we've been saying and hoping that somebody would say it. That people would know what to do. Give them information about what is going on out there. Adults will do what is necessary to carry on. And to not be destroyed by the cure. But of course, it's not really a cure. It's just the destruction that's being sought out right now. It's the only reason why that Trump has been brought down a peg in time for the election. That, and of course, has given an alibi as to why we need to rethink and reimagine the entire way that we carry on a general election in terms of voting in such a short amount of time. If they suggested this in 2018, people would be like, okay, listen, we know that you want to win, but come on. Nobody, stop this. Democrats and Republicans would say, stop this. Okay? It is rife with opportunities for fraud. It's written all over it. But now we have this fear of death. You know, Trump said people want to go back to work. They want to go back to life. Biden weekly kept repeating, people want to be safe. People want to be safe. No, there is no safe in life, Joe. There is no safe. What do you want to do? You want safe? You have to spend your days in a hyperbaric chamber somewhere. If you want safe. Then, of course, we get around to the big ticket item. That's right, the big ticket item that never goes away. Mr. President, will you right here, right now, denounce white supremacy for the 100,000th time? Please, Mr. President. No, Mr. President. We need... And he brings up the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys. Which, of course, led to the big gaffe that is now trending all over the internet today. Proud Boys, which I had to go look up finally just to see what the tenets of the entire thing was. And it's just a mixed group of white, black, Hispanic, patriot types who have never set fire to a Jiffy Lube, that's for sure. I have it up over here. I went right to the source. Listen to this, and you can see why it's so scary to people. Core values of the Proud Boys: minimal government, maximum freedom, anti-political correctness, anti-drug war, closed borders, anti-racial guilt, but also anti-racism, pro-free speech, pro-gun rights, glorifying the entrepreneur, venerating the housewife, meaning feminism is truly a choice of women, not a preordained path of career-obsessed, hookup culture-obsessed women, that there actually is a beautiful balance of nature there in having a whole family and being able to fill in pieces of that puzzle as either in more traditional roles. So, of course, they're more traditional chauvinist, you know, chauvinism, Western chauvinism kind of a group there, which is not bad at all. It really isn't. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But they're not burning down Jiffy Lubes. They're not consequential at all. I know that they've been out there. But you'd have to imagine groups like this are going to pop up when people start adopting the idea that speech equals violence. Of course groups like this are going to pop up. Never set fire to a Walmart. Never set fire to a Target, never threw a Molotov cocktail into the cabin of a police car, never destroyed the meager belongings of those who are already homeless and living on the streets. I don't know how many homeless people I've seen have their belongings strewn all over the sidewalk and their little cardboard houses burned. Chris Wallace had the nerve to bring them up by name as if they are some sort of significant presence in America. I had to go look them up to see what they were all about, just to see what the problem was. And this is what I mean about Trump leaving runners on base. They made him denounce white supremacy for the 100th time. And he came out with this Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. And I'm like, oh, what are you even doing right now? Biden comes on out there talking about tear gassing protesters at the White House and Charlottesville again. Biden used everything from the hiding in a bunker line to gassing protesters just so he can go out, Trump can go out and take a picture in front of the church, saying how the generals of the army thought it was disgraceful. And what did Trump do? He stood there and shook his head and then immediately started talking about how many military leaders think he's doing a great job. I'm saying to myself, Mr. President, all you need to do is utter 8 words right now. The protesters set fire to the church, Joe. The protesters set fire to the church. Then you can talk about your overwhelming military support. As far as Charlottesville goes, can he please have one poignant moment of saying, ladies and gentlemen, I know that this has been used against me for 3 years, but I'll say it one more time, or maybe I'll say it for the first time adequately enough. The issue of Charlottesville was the statue, was the preservation of history. There were groups of people that showed up that wanted to see the statue taken down. There were groups of people that wanted to see history preserved, for better or for worse. They wanted to see history preserved. Within both groups, there were those who had very unsavory ideas about the world, that were hateful, that were willing to commit violence against each other. And also within those two groups, there were people who just wanted to engage in the good old American form of dialogue and make their point and cite their grievances about a contentious issue, which was this Robert E. Lee statue. I said there were good people on both sides because there are. And I'm talking about the left as well, not only people who would vote for me in an election. He just can't, he can't get it out. He's not that type of speaker. And it gets me furious because I just want to transfer myself into his body and say it. He could also take that opportunity to say, and you know something else, I've been denouncing racism and the KKK in particular, at least on television, as far back as at least the year 2000, when I left the Reform Party because I didn't want anything to do with an organization that called David Duke a member. You can go on YouTube right now and watch my interview from the year 2000 with Matt Lauer before he was kicked out of his network for having sex toys and in his desk. Go look it up. YouTube right now. Matt Lauer, Donald Trump, Reform Party, 2000, David Duke. Left the party because David Duke was a member. Instead, he blurted out, well, what do you want me to say? And then Chris Wallace, well, will you tell the Proud Boys to be peaceful? Will you tell the Proud Boys, please stop? Stop what? I would say, stop what? And he says, Proud Boys, please stand back and stand by. And I'm saying, what are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not chess. That's not chess. That's a missed target right there. I would have said, violence. Chris, violence is coming from one place right now. Now, I promise my supporters will be as peaceful as they have always been. But let's be clear about something. This election has been set up for failure and chaos. That is what we have been set up for this entire year. Okay? In the middle of an unprecedented time of division, of sedition, and frankly, treason. Okay? And there's only one side in this equation that has abandoned the good old-fashioned American debate and the good humor and traded it in for Molotov cocktails. There's only one side that has done that, Chris. And Joe Biden, meanwhile, he was able to get away with saying Antifa is an idea. It's not an organization. Donald Trump had to tell a culturally insignificant yet innocuous group of people that call themselves the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by and don't cause any harm to the country. Yet Antifa, which is connected at the hip with Black Lives Matter, that has already caused over $1 billion in damage in the United States during their rioting and looting since May, they were called an idea, not an organization, an idea, or a myth, as Fat Jerry once said. Just an idea, an explosive one at that. An explosive idea. I can't believe the things that were just left untouched. Joe Biden could have been squashed, and Chris Wallace, because of course Trump was debating both of them. They could have been squashed like bugs. Like bugs. Chris Wallace tried characterizing things like the 1619 Project and critical race theory as being that's being adopted by institutions like the Smithsonian as not being racist. It's sensitivity training, don't you know, to tell young black boys and girls that critical thinking, whole families, having a good work ethic, individualism, Christianity, and planning for the future are only things that white colonizers do or concern themselves with. That's sensitivity training, don't you know? Teaching black children that remaining a dependent, irrational infant into their 70s is a pinnacle of black culture. And they call Trump a racist. He's the only guy on the stage that created jobs, real jobs, for tens of thousands of people in his life, many of whom minorities. The only person that actually created real jobs and didn't sign his name to some kind of a bill that created some kind of a government program. You know, Joe Biden was vice president when Barack Obama said that we're going to have millions of shovel-ready jobs going on, or ready to go from coast to coast. Rebuilding our infrastructure. Not one shovel was passed out. Not one. You know, but so there you go. Donald Trump created tens of thousands of jobs for real people, real jobs. Biden and his friends want to pop a pacifier into your mouth and tell you not to think linearly. Don't think linearly. That's a calling card of whiteness. Now, here's the positives. Here's some positives for me, uncontested positives. Trump isn't losing any support from this, but he has three key opportunities with these debates to maybe jog something loose inside of people who have been imprisoned by the left, imprisoned intellectually, spiritually. There's plenty of people out there who could definitely be very moved by an overwhelming performance combined with at least a few really surprising human moments from the president. Now, will they be moved enough to put on a MAGA hat? No. But perhaps moved enough to secretly vote for him and not tell the rest of their families at Thanksgiving? Maybe that could happen. Now, why is it so important? Well, as an aficionado of the spoken word, I go insane when I see missed opportunities to make a point. The Supreme Court, once again. I think that the president made a very, very good point with this. The Supreme Court, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, please let everyone know why you're thinking in the move should be to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat as soon as possible. Why are you right? Why is the other person wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And Trump stated it perfectly. It is what it is. It's an objective reality. Elections have consequences. The White House and the Senate are necessary for court confirmations and appointments. And the Constitution says nothing about making political considerations to a minority party in an election year when going out and actually fulfilling your constitutional duty. There's no mention of political parties. Our first president, George Washington, begged the country as he left office voluntarily, do not engage in political partisanship. Get rid of the factions. It will be the death of us. And here it is. Now they're saying that the Constitution should only be followed through in a dutiful way if the party that hates the Constitution gets their way. Think about that one right there. And I don't care what Mitch McConnell said in years past either. I don't care the reasoning for it. If you don't have the majorities, you just need to live with it and try better to persuade the American people that you're actually an advocate for liberty in the American way. And if they actually go with you, you'll have the majorities. You can do what you want. And if you continue to do a good job, you'll be in the majority for a while. And Trump is 100% correct in saying that Democrats would have done the same thing that he's doing right now. Are you telling me that the party of open borders, no voter ID, a vague census that determines nobody's nationality and nobody's citizenship, the call to stack the courts and end the Electoral College, you're telling me the party that endorses all of that wouldn't take advantage of something that the Constitution actually requires them to do if they had the majorities for it? Regardless if it was the day before Inauguration Day? They would force through the pick if it was 2 days before Inauguration Day and they were about to lose the White House. They would force it through. You best believe they would. Everything Joe Biden said in response is not even worthy of repeating because it's inconsequential. Just as inconsequential as Ruth Bader Ginsburg's alleged last wish letter to the country is. Inconsequential. I would have let Joe Biden talk until his jaw fell off. And while he did that, I would have been scribbling down notes. And then I would have cut him and Chris Wallace to ribbons. I would have cut them to ribbons. I think Trump talked over Joe way too much. He's a demented old man. And talking over a demented old man actually takes the attention away from the fact that he's demented. Let him complete a thought. Write down diligent notes and go after him. You're allowed a pencil and a piece of paper up there. Go after him. Other good news. Other good news. From the Gateway Pundit, Hispanic voters at Telemundo say that President Trump overwhelmingly won the debate, 66% to 34%. So like I said, this is not going to hurt him in any way. But if you're ever going to have a chance of cracking the glacial divide between him and some of the people who have been firmly ensconced within the Democrat demographic, Then you've got to appeal. We don't want to see the slug a match here. We want a little bit of poignancy, you know. Telemundo viewers agree. Real Donald Trump won the debate by 32 points, reports Andrew Clark and Daniel Garza. That's good. Here's another key positives. Trump got Biden to distance himself from the Green New Deal, even though Biden published the support of this on his website. I guess he felt the heat of that one. He distanced himself from the single-payer health care, even though he supported it alongside of Bernie Sanders. And he went in on supporting the police. But remember, everybody, even though that he's been pulled into doing these things, just always keep in the back of your head, he's supported and he is being upheld and promoted by political jihadists. They do not care what he has to say to get elected. All right. He's being managed by Bolsheviks of the highest order. So, yeah, Trump said, oh, well, you just lost a far left vote. No, not really. Not really. Those who want Trump gone, they don't care. They don't care. And I think that they would appreciate a little bit of deception right now just to be able to win the election. And then they can deal with it afterwards because at least they won't have to deal with Trump. Now, Biden, it was really funny to see Biden unable to name one police organization that backs him. That was really funny. Biden was unable to say that he would not support packing the courts because, of course, his party wants to pack the courts and he knows that. And he's not going to say one thing. And then again, it doesn't matter. But he wouldn't go that far. So that was pretty telling. And he also, I hated the way that he disingenuously hid behind his dead son's military service to bring to life that bullshit Atlantic article that was so disgraceful. Okay, so he disingenuously hid behind his son to bring that article to life again. And then he lied about Hunter. Hunter was kicked out of the military for hard drug usage, not to mention having an affair with his dead brother's wife, and then having a taste for hookers and money from Russia and China as well. Biden said that the Hunter Biden story reports were totally discredited, yet he leans on the Atlantic article, and he brought up that flash-in-the-pan discredited report about Russian Taliban bounties on American soldiers in Afghanistan. Real discredited stuff. And no pushback. No pushback. A little bit of pushback on the Atlantic article, but nothing on the whatchamacallit. The bounty report. And you know, I don't know. And can I also just say, speaking of Russia, and they also brought up his taxes, that now we know how incredibly destroyed the Russia lie is. And how empty it was, and how it really was just a massive sedition operation, an international spy operation, treason of the highest order. This whole tax return story is moot. Most people don't even know why this all started. It's just been beaten into the public consciousness for so long that it seems consequential, but once again, is not. But really, it's now just coming off because the Russia thing is gone, which was the impetus for looking into this. The only reason why that they wanted to see his finances was to bolster this idea that Trump was owned by someone or potentially driven by something nefarious. But now that every aspect of the Russia story has collapsed around the perpetrator's ankles, who are still walking free, it's just a constant, show us your money, show us your income, take your clothes off, come on, show us, get naked, strip down for us. It's seriously becoming such a creepy obsession. Is it true that you're paying this much taxes? Well, your tax returns, are you going to show us your tax? Are you going to show us your money? Are you going to show us your money? You have one guy on the other side of the stage who has enriched himself and his family through his office for 47 years, and even more so when he was vice president. And Donald Trump, who has seen a dip in his value by becoming president, and still to this point has not taken a paycheck. And this Russia thing is gone, and still, this is, we need to see this. To like hell you do, you jowly, oh God help me. Oh God, we're walking into the jaws of this one together, aren't we, folks? 5 weeks away, and we're going to have to walk through that threshold and just deal with what's on the other side. Just got to deal with what's on the other side. And what is on the other side? A man named John Trudell, I don't know, but I saw him tweet. He spoke to the highest level of truth that there is to be stated about what we're looking at right now. He tweeted this. Trump isn't running against Biden. He's running against voter fraud. And that's exactly what this is. The conversation's about, will you honor the vote? This is going to be an election that's going to be decided and counted and contested for weeks, if not months. Both sides are saying it, which is very, very disturbing. It's just as disturbing as both sides saying that Russia hacked the DNC. Well, I guess it's as deeply as we're going to penetrate this one. It's as deeply as we're going to penetrate this one, my friends. I guess if both sides are now, it's been an entire year of saying election night is probably going to be election week or election month. Now both sides are saying it. And we're being set up for catastrophe. We're running into a disaster right now. We really are. We really are. It's so obvious with the jockeying back and forth. Chris Wallace, Joe Biden, everybody trying to show how the mail-in votes, there's nothing wrong with this. We've been doing mail-in votes since the Civil War. Absentee ballots, Joe. There's a difference between the two. Trump did not jump on that one. He could have done that. Absentee. But this unsolicited mailing out of tens of millions of ballots to people's houses across the country, when there's already so many disasters that have still not been sifted through yet on the state level during the primaries. We haven't even gotten to the bottom of all the problems that popped up in state primaries in places like New York and Nevada. And we're talking about the general? Trump is running against voter fraud. That's the candidate. It's incredibly damaging. So much left unfulfilled last night from my watching. I'm sure that some of you have a little bit more of a rosy depiction of things. I'm not saying that last night was devoid of any victories. It was good in many ways. It was bad in many ways, but not bad in the way that he got bested. Bad in the way that he tripped over his own shoelaces a few times. This is a demented man. He's not polished like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, maybe you have to take her off her game. You know, to use another baseball analogy. When you're up there and you are up to bat against a pitcher that is really in a groove, a pitcher that has been in the game for a long time, they know how to work both sides of the plate, they know how to work the count, they really know how to pitch, and they are throwing a dazzling game this time. Dazzling game. You as a hitter, you're up there facing off against somebody who knows what they're doing and is at the top of their game and having a great performance, then you got to step out of the box a little bit. You got to screw with the pitcher's pace. You gotta get in their head somehow. You have to crowd the plate a little bit. You have to interrupt the debate a little bit. You have to throw a couple of wrenches into the gear so that they can't establish a flow. You got to do that with someone like Hillary Clinton, who knows how to work a debate stage, and she's polished in that respect. Joe Biden is demented. It's okay to allow this guy to talk a little bit more. Give yourself a breather. Let your adrenaline level tamp down a little bit. Write yourself some notes. It's a completely different opponent than the snake, the viper that you were facing in 2016, Mr. President. Man, oh man. Man, oh man. It was also awesome to hear little jabs like this. Take a listen to this here about all of the Mr. President you have out there. You're in there doing all of these, continuing to have large gatherings at your rallies. Here we go.
President Trump, you're holding large rallies with crowds packed together, thousands of people.
Outside,
yes, sir. Agreed. Vice President Biden, you are holding much smaller events with
nobody will show up.
People with
nobody shows up to his rally.
It is true. That was perfect. It is true. Ha ha. Nobody shows up to your rallies, Joe. Period. End of story. And this is the big one here, too. Finally, a moment, and this is the kind of moments that should have been jam-packed throughout the entire debate. You allow Joe to stumble all over himself for 2 minutes, you get yourself ready, and then you deliver knockout blows and counterpunches like this.
Mr. President, 2 minutes.
So, when I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from when I won. I won that election, and if you look at Crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our First Lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about it too. So don't tell me about a free transit.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. You want, well, Mr. President, will you be into a transition of power? Will you leave if we all collectively say you lost and you're the only one who thinks that you won? Will you leave if we all say at the same time, well, the president lost? We have to trust the vote. This vote is very, very trustworthy. You lost, Mr. President. Please leave and let us put this chapter behind us. And the president said it perfectly. Transition of power. I still have not been allowed to arrive in the White House. I'm still fighting a removal effort that has been going on since before I was inaugurated. And Joe Biden said nothing to it. What can he say? What can he say? They have it in Peter Strzok's notes. These are published notes. This is on file at the DOJ. He knows it. He knows he suggested the Logan Act. These are the kind of moments that Donald Trump should have thrown into the gut. These are kidney and liver shots that should have been thrown all day. Let Joe Biden dribble all over himself for 2 minutes and then kill him. It was a perfect moment. Perfect moment. Then, of course, we have Jake Tapper doing just crack reporting over there on CNN. He wants to let everybody know. He wants to know exactly what happened. Just more great analysis of the event. Take a listen to this.
We're all getting text messages from friends all over the country. A friend of mine in Kansas City, watching her first debate with her sixth grade daughter bursts into tears, has to run to bed because she was so appalled, the sixth grade girl, at what she saw from the president
There you go. And there's Dana Bash sitting there with her alien face, her ET face, going, oh, they're shaking her head. Oh, that, oh my God. A mentally, emotionally abused sixth grade child from Kansas or wherever the hell she's from. That's so horrible. A sixth grade daughter abused by her politically toxic parents burst into tears and had to run to bed. Are you sure the sixth grade girl isn't just a euphemism for Brian Stelter? Are you sure? The grown man that works on CNN that talked about how he had to stay in bed and cry all day because, come on here. I have a friend, sixth grade daughter, burst into tears because of what she saw coming out of the president. To hell with them all. Now, I have a couple of things here. I put out a, before I end this thread here, what do I have? 40 minutes? Good. Okay, we're going to end a little bit early. But I have a little bit, I have a few things here from people on out there. I asked, hey, comment with some of your biggest takeaways, observations, and gripes, or your favorite moments of last night's debate. This is on Twitter right now. I have this one from Brittany Dawn, good friend of mine. Trump telling Biden not to use the word smart with him. We were dying laughing. I was dying laughing from that as well.
A lot of people died, and a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
So, Mr. President?
Did you use the word smart? So you said you went to Delaware State, but you forgot the name of your college. You didn't go to Delaware State. You graduated either the lowest or almost the lowest in your class. Don't ever use the word smart with me. Don't ever use that word.
Oh, give me a break.
Because you know what? There's nothing smart about you, Joe. 47 years, you've done nothing.
Let's have this debate.
And if you would have had, let me just tell you something, Joe. No, if you would have had the charge of what I was put through, I had to close the greatest economy in the history of our country. And by the way, now it's being built again.
You see,
it's
going to get to the economy in the next segment, sir.
Well, yeah, please, Mr. President, the time is not yours. Please, don't talk about things like this. But that's amazing. Don't use the word smart with me. Let's see here. Kate Schneider says he may have had a device implanted in his skull. Didn't need to be wired or speculated. That allows him to communicate with him. I mean, this is Neuralink technology time, is it not? But I did see other pictures of supposed wires popping out of his, near his cufflinks, behind his lapel. I don't know. There's a lot of things here. Biden wired up, may have even augmented reality contacts inside. That would be interesting there, too. Augmented reality context. That would be an interesting concept where you can actually see the teleprompter inside of your head because it's right there displaying things like the Terminator. He probably has Terminator sight right now. It's like that scene in Terminator 2 when he goes into the biker bar. Guitar Cadillacs. You know, and he's just the, you know, whatever. Okay. Let's see. Tracker says, I liked when the audio didn't work and we could not hear Wallace. Not too bad that didn't happen on my end. Chirping Cricket said, Chris Wallace was taking every false Democrat MSM talking point, asking POTUS about it, and leading Biden wired to spew his next line. That's what I saw repeatedly. The debate sucked. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Chris Wallace did exactly what we thought. In the first 15 minutes, he had already saved the former vice president three times. Let's see here. Comrade Fudge, HNI John Miller said, did anyone else catch that out of nowhere good luck from Biden at the very beginning? No, I did not. No, I did not. Was it an earpiece conversation? I don't know. Of course, Dan, Ill Discourse, says, name one law enforcement group backing you. That was savage. It was amazing. It was amazing. I love this. What's this? Hold on. Methods to Madness put this one out.
So when I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from
one. Okay, well, we listened to that one. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, there was no transition. And he knows he's caught dead to rights there, too. A lot of people are putting on into the thing on here, into the thread, little pictures of what may be a electronic device popping up behind the cufflinks on his sleeve. the reversal on supporting the Green New Deal. But like I said, the political jihadists of the Democrat Party do not care what you lie about. I believe in actual jihad. It's called taqiyya. It is the ability and the ordained ability to lie to the infidel in order to preserve yourself or to conquer them. So you can lie. It is acceptable to lie if you're going to conquer the infidel. So that is pretty much. I don't take too much stock in the reversing of things like that. But catching them in the middle of major flubs and also pointing out their criminality is big time. What else we have here? The look on Biden's face, who said everybody was caught in the Logan Act. That's a big theme here. People love that. We caught them all. We got it on tape. 100%. DC nine dogs says Trump needs some coaching. There's a disconnect between what he's trying to say and how it comes out. Too much disorganization. I think that is the main crux of my point here today, too. Nana Fofana says, my husband shushing me as I yelled at Chris Wallace to shut up. It happened a lot. Yes. Indeed. It was awful. And that's 90 minutes I'm not getting back. Logan Act. Trump can't get out of his own way, says Sam. Biden lied a lot. He was clearly told by his handlers to rebut any attack from Trump with that's not true. And then he can deal with it later on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. And he can get away with that. And he did. So. John Burke from Kenya says, I wish Trump had been allowed to rebut the Charlottesville BS. Me too. And he could have. He could have, and he should have used his time any way he wanted to. He should have. It was brought up. Charlottesville was brought up. And the other thing, and the tear gassing of protesters was brought up. He should have been able to respond to both things. To both things. But he allowed it. I mean, he just allowed it to go on. Allowed it to go on. That's what I got here for you for today, everybody. And to pretty much tonight is going to be the same exact show. Same exact show with a little bit of callers mixed in on, quite frankly. But for this edition of Dark to Light, filling in for my esteemed colleague and partner in crime, Tracy Beans, I am very happy to have been here with you all. And to have done this dance with you. And hopefully, I didn't piss any of you off too much. Now I send this off to the wonderful people at Radio Influence. And we will see you again on Friday. With that being said, see you later. I should also say that you can find us on RadioInfluence.com, on Cover DC, on iTunes, and all those other things. Yes, I know. I juked you out there. But now I'm back. And now I'm really saying goodbye. For good. Have a wonderful day. It is Wednesday. Get humped, and we'll see you on Friday.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
I'm really, 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 really questioning the intelligence of probably 40% of our country, because when we're talking about COVID and what's going on and, you know, our president knowing what was going on in February, so he knew exactly what, you know, the parameters of this was in February. And then in March, he's saying it's a Democratic hoax. That alone is enough for you to say, well, what am I supporting exactly? So you knew what was going to happen. You didn't tell anybody. He didn't advise anybody, and you also blamed it to politics. That's his problem. Everything is political. I mean, everything is political. And for him to come out the other day, and he said this to a smattering of applause. He said, the only people dying are the old sick people. Don't worry about it. There's almost nobody under 18 dying. He goes, there's really nobody dying. He said that three times. He goes, there's nobody dying. Nobody. So there's 200,000 families out there that like to shoot them in the face right now because they lost a family member. They're Americans. They lost a family member. Donald Trump just called your family member nobody. Did he not? He said, really, nobody's died. And we've done a phenomenal job. Not a good job, a phenomenal job. If I'm in a weight loss contest and I lose the least, am I allowed to say I'm doing a phenomenal job? That's what we're doing.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.